fan, Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, a long way to go, short time to get there this morning. Got a lot of stuff I want to throw on the table today. Thanks for coming in here and joining us. It's first day of summer. You guys know that? First day of summer today, 21st of June. And I think that means it's the longest day of the year, isn't that right? So the days are going to start getting shorter every day here. So let's live it to the fullest. Excited. Got a big weekend going on here with Sky. I got Spencer, producer, over here and one here. I got Johnny, the producer, down there. We got producers everywhere you look. We had a great Roger Weaver took about, I don't know, 16 of us, I think it was, out to eat last night at a ritzy place. What is it? It's a ritzy place. I can't believe they charge that much for food there. But Roger paid for it. Thank God, Roger. Thanks. But man, we had a really, really good time. And I'm just saying to people out there that are watching this right now, you still don't know if you're coming. I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing richer than good fellowship. And there was great fellowship in that room last night with those guys, the 16 of them. I don't know how many there were in that room. And we did a little bit of reminiscing. And I just understand that really how deep our connection is, really in ways that we sometimes don't even think about. I want to thank Roger for picking up the tab on that thing last night, which was probably pretty hefty. So appreciate that, Roger. You know, Roger did something last night. Maybe I'll get into it here a little bit earlier. Roger Weaver keeps notes of every show. And he brought his notebook last night. And it was pretty fascinating. He went back 7 years ago when we started, 2017, I think it was, however long that was. And he read his show notes that we'd done here, 2017. And it was pretty amazing. And you know one thing that was really amazing about it? I was right. Things I was saying back then, I was right. And I couldn't believe that Roger had taken those kind of notes. And so that was really pretty cool. So people are coming in today. Look, some of you are going to get confused by the directions. Spencer's working right now to get the directions very, very clearly for you up online. Although I think that if you do Waze or if you do Google Maps or whatever, I think they have the detour added in there. I think you're okay. I hope. So we kick off tonight at 7 o'clock. You can come a little bit earlier. Maybe actually, what time does it start, Spencer? I don't know. 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Better get it right. And
registration starts at four.
And the first speaker is at what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. And that is who?
Sheila
Holm will be speaking at 7 o'clock tonight. The tent's up. The chairs are there. The heat is there. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to get Joe Carrico in here. Going to do a little bit of community. Hey, look, it's going to be the best show you've ever seen today. It'll be the best one. So don't go anywhere. Gary's got his hand up. I must be in trouble. Go ahead, Gary.
Food at five.
What's that?
Food at five.
Food at five. I'm sorry. Food at five.
So registration at four, foods.
Registration food at four, food at five, Sheila Holm at seven, fireworks after that. Hey, folks, come on, drive over for the day. Just drive over wherever you are around here. So I don't know about you guys. You guys are kind of crazy or you're whatever you would call us. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But we have been right all along. And I'm saying this for the FBI who is watching right now. We have in no way ever promoted violence against anybody, anything. But we're saying this to the FBI and everybody's watching. You're forcing the hand of the average everyday guy. You're forcing it, locking our buddies up. You're forcing our hand. We are, as I told the FBI when they came and visited me along, I don't know, 3 years ago, whatever it was, just before we went to DC. I told the FBI then, I'll tell them again today, dudes, we're your best friends. We're here to prevent violence. We're not here to cause violence. We're trying to get you guys to wake up and understand what the hell's going on and that we're on your side. We're not against you. But here's the problem, FBI, what side are you on? Are you on the side of the government or on the side of the people? Because it ain't the same thing, buddy. It ain't the same thing. And so those of us who care about our children and our grandchildren and our future and our Lord, we just stand up, and you guys act out there, act like it's whack-a-mole, whack us on the head. How dare we stand up and say something? How dare we stand up and complain? How dare we stand up and not comply? Well, dudes, that's the battle that's raging. And so you FBI agents, you better figure out who the hell's side you're on. Who butters your bread? I get that. You're collecting the government check from Lucifer. I get that. You guys, huh? There's a judgment day coming, brother. You're going to stand before the Lord too. Some of you FBI agents, you're Christians. Are you kidding me? You call yourselves Christians and do what you do? What? If you'd have been in that room last night and seen just the God-fearing men that were in that room, oh, well, I'll quit my rant. I'm right. I ain't afraid of him. Pastor Bill Dunphy was even in there with us last night. Oh, yeah, he was. A God-fearing man, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came and appealed to his government for a redress of grievances. And you guys want to lock him up, create fake evidence and lock him up. You guys are amazing. Amazing. All right, I feel better. Go ahead, Joe. Let's take some communion here. Hey, don't go away. I'm trying to get some great stuff for you. Hang in there with us. It's all yours, Joe. No, it's not all yours. I'll interrupt.
Producer, please. Thank you, sir. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Man, if we could understand that, if we could take the reality of that, huh? We're surrounded by angels. Wow, go ahead, Joe.
It's hard to fathom. It's a pretty strong statement.
Yep. Innumerable. Innumerable, yeah. Meaning you cannot count them. There's so many.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Wow. We're made just. It's endued to us, as Tim Tuber would tell us. He's up in Alaska today. Righteousness is endued to us, right? God makes us righteous. It's hard for us to understand.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven.
That's pretty clear cut.
Yep.
Amen.
Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven.
Amen.
And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
Amen.
Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved.
Already here, baby.
Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
So, Joe, we got it backwards. We think we're going to go to the kingdom. And every time we read this, I see that the kingdom's coming to us. The kingdom's within, right? Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Yeah.
And we're going focused rather than coming focused. Kingdom's coming. It's within us. Come on. Let's act like it.
So few have understood that prayer.
Yep. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts so grateful for today. So grateful that you've seen fit to fill our lungs and put rhythm in our hearts and have us here together in this very unconventional congregation in this great country where we meet from land to land and state to state and city to city with the marvels of today's technology. And Lord, we remember that we have been taught that our Lord Jesus Christ is at the right side hand of the Father, and that we believers in him sit with him there and with you, our Father, there. We are there with you now as we are here on earth. And it's hard for us to fathom that, Lord. And sometimes some were never even taught this in church, and some just believe it's an allegory or something, but it's not an allegory, Lord. It is the truth. And help us, Lord, to learn how to pray from being there with you at your right hand. How much more powerful are those prayers going to be when we learn to do that, Lord? Because the days we're coming into, we will need such as we are coming into a shaking. But we know, Lord, that some things will not be shaken, and that is you. For you are the shaker, not the shaken. And so, Lord and Father, help us to focus on the things we should focus on, to do the things we should do, to always be an ambassador for our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how much provocation that may be thrown at us. Help us to defend the children, and help us to become who you would have us become, to finally start being the persons, the men and women that you brought us here at this unique time to be. We know that the great cloud of witnesses is filled with saints who would love to have been here at this time with us. But we are here now, and we need to do what we are meant to do at this time, to say what we are meant to say, to become who you want us to become. And so please be with our, those that here are meeting this weekend. Keep them safe in their travels and keep them safe there, and let them have fellowship that's unbelievable. Let it be a landmark event. And we are so grateful for communion. We ask you to bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you forgive our sins and transgressions as we look at ourselves, knowing that we are far from perfect. We ask you to forgive those sins that we recall and forgive those sins that we cannot even recall. And we remember that anything that we do that is not done in this, with the Holy Spirit is a sin. So our lives are full of it, Lord, really full of sin. We need to acknowledge that and be so grateful for grace. And we also remember that this meal that we're taking is the meal that heals. Let our bodies and our spirits be healed. Let our wounds go away. Let our bruises lose their blue tint and become normal. And thank you for today again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 The Lord Jesus, that the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen, Joe. Thanks. Thanks, man. See, we don't understand the power of all of us in unison doing this, friends. We really did. We really would do understand. It just became a ritual. I don't know about you guys. It became a ritual for me. I went to church and just went and did it. You know, I was Catholic. He's that little Catholic boy, and you walk down there, and they gave you the element, put it on your tongue, and went back, and that was it. Nothing. And it's life. It's life, man. Amazing, amazing, amazing. We had fun last night and that we did a little bit of reminiscing. I'm going to do a show on that here coming up in a few days. Roger asked a pretty profound topic, which is who in the queue has really influenced you? Rather than, well, Coach Dave this, Coach Dave that. Who else? Who have you gleaned from? And it was really good. And I noticed it again last night. There's a really, really deep bond that we have, even though we don't see each other very much, even though we come from so many different places. Jeff Nell flies in yesterday from Nevada, comes in last night. There's a deep bond there. And not a religious bond, but a brotherhood bond. And that's why I said again this morning, man, if you can get here, if you can just get here for a day, man, come and be part of it and rub shoulders with these guys. And as I said, Roger Weaver yesterday, last night, he takes notes. He went back in 2017, he said this, in 2018, he said this, in 2019, he said this. And it was really, really, from my standpoint, it's pretty profound to sit around. And we all got to say who influenced you, yada, yada, whatever. And I said, man, you know what? I'm a coach. And I just sit back and I'm, if you knew my beginnings with Ray LeBlanc, how I met Ray LeBlanc, and to see the relationship that we have with Ray, and how I met Randy or Mark Trump or Chad, or I mean, I could tell a story about every one of them. And to say that one of them has influenced me more than, man, it's a potpourri, right? It's an interlocking thing that it's just hard for you to explain. And we're a little bit different because we don't see each other very often. And we'll get to this weekend, I don't know, 80, 85 of us, maybe 100. I don't know what we'll get to. And if you're watching out there, come Sunday morning and hear Flip Benham. Let your church service be with us on Sunday morning. And Flip will give you a message, I'm sure, that, man, most of you will never forget. Cool. Okay, so look, I got 12 different directions I could go today, as always. I want to do a little bit of an educational thing. I don't see anybody's got their hand up yet. Let's see. We're good. And we miss those of you who can't make it. But something big's going on. Dale, are you here? Are you there, Dale?
I am.
Dale, I'm going to do a little bit of on this right now, Dale. The state, folks, are you looking at me? The state of Louisiana has now, Dale said this yesterday, told us about this yesterday. The state of Louisiana has now made it a law that the Ten Commandments be posted in every, is it classroom, Dale, or every school?
Yes, every classroom, from pre-K to college.
from pre-K all the way through college.
Mandated, folks, the Ten Commandments posted in every classroom in Louisiana. That is like unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Hey, Dale, how did all that come about? By the way, Dale's on his way up here, so we'll get to see him this weekend. How'd that come about, Dale?
When the wicked rule, the people mourn. So Jeff Landry, who was the Attorney General under John Dumbbell Edwards, right? So do you know that was his first position in any politics, like a Donald Trump coach, to be honest with you. He had no political knowledge of anything. He became the Attorney General for 8 years, and then he ran for governor. And they said he won't win right out. He's going to have to go in a runoff, and he might not want it. Well, Coach, he won it right on out of the gate. He won it. And you know what it was? It was things like that. He stood against the mask mandates. He stood against the jabs. He got sued by Planned Parenthood because he refused to give them any kind of an operational license. Brother, he's a man's man. This guy loves the Lord. Okay, he's Catholic. But let me tell you what, he's more Christian than most Christian pastors that I see that are coming against him for posting the Ten Commandments. Here's the line. Here's the line.
Did you know that, folks? Did you know that? Listen. Now there's churches, religious organizations in Louisiana on the other side. They're upset that the Ten Commandments are going to be posted.
Coach, and this is their line. We're 47th in the nation in our education. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't sound like it's working. Maybe we should try this, don't you think?
Uh-huh. Some type of universal values that we all believe. That would be, huh? The Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree? We can't even agree what's right and wrong, folks. No wonder there's a spirit of confusion all over us. So Dale, that's happening. Now, friends, here's what I want to take you today. I want to give you a little bit of a history lesson, if it's okay with you, okay? First of all, there's two branches of government. There's the House of Representatives, and there are the Senate. And they're the lawmaking branch. And the Supreme Court is put in place to interpret law. Supreme Court doesn't make law. They interpret the law. Courts do not make law, okay? We got confused somewhere along the line, and this all begins back. Come on, stay with me here. Stay here with me. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. I'm going to throw it up there. Bring up number three. How many of you knew that the 13 original colonies were, in fact, set up denominationally? Did you guys know that? And here's a little thing on the chart right now. It shows you the timeline, okay? But keep scrolling on down there. Is it Jonathan? Keep scrolling down. Look at this. Virginia. Hey, come on back here. Virginia was, what's their official religion, John? Folks, you get this? Their official religion. The official religion of the state of Virginia. Now, look. When the Bible said, when the founders got arguing with us and talked about the separation between the church and state, they were not talking about different religions or different Christianities. No. They were talking about Christianity. They were talking about denominations. In other words, there wasn't going to be one denomination over the government or embedded in the government. The separation between the church and the state meant this: religious liberty according to the state. So when they said there was a separation between the church and the state, we're going to see right here real quickly. Virginia was Anglican. Go to the next one, Johnny. Virginia's Anglican. Folks, founded Anglican. New York, Anglican, Church of England. That's why they got mad. They didn't want the king being a Congregational Church of Massachusetts. State Church, friends. Maryland, Anglican. Delaware, no official religion. No wonder Joe Biden's so screwed up. Connecticut, Congregational Church. Official churches, folks. New Hampshire, the Congregational Church. Official, can you guys read that? Official religion? Rhode Island, none. No official religion. Christian sect, all right? Georgia, none. No denominational religion. North Carolina, Anglican, Church of England. 11, go to the next one. What? Huh? South Carolina, Church of England, Anglican. Pennsylvania. Oh, they didn't have any, but they soon became Quakers. And New Jersey was no official religion. So the idea of the separation between the church and the state, because the states all had different denominations. Are you with me? And so they wrote in there that there's a separation between the church and the state because they believed in religious freedom. They believed in Christian religious freedom. Although the Constitution of the United States even grants Muslims the right to be here. Because why? We believe that God and choice, right? Right? Freedom of religion. So in some countries in America, in the world, Christianity is illegal. It's illegal to be a Christian. And the only reason we have multiple religions in the United States is because of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But at the heart of it was Christianity. Christianity granted the right of conscience to all these others. Because there was a time, you go to Muslim countries, if you were a Christian, they killed you. You with me? So this whole idea of the lie of the separation, stay with me, I'm taking you someplace. So here's the religions of the states, right? So here's what we don't understand. We like to focus on the first. I'm sorry if this is a history lesson, but you guys need this. We focus on the First Amendment, right? But let me show you something there real quick. Go to number four. We're going to do four and we're going to do five. Ninth Amendment to the Constitution. Just as valid as the First Amendment, by the way. It says, scroll down a little bit, Johnny. The enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So if the Constitution doesn't specifically say something, then the people in their own states are allowed to come up with what they want to. And then the 10th Amendment to the Constitution says, the next one, the powers not delegated to the United States government by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively and to the people. The states are in control of religion, friends. The states are. And in 1947, bring up number seven, 1947, Everson versus the Board. I'm going to pause right now. I'm going to give you a chance to say, Coach, I never knew this. In 1947, Everson versus the Board of Education, February 10th, 1947, the Supreme Court out of nowhere said there was a separation between the church and the state, thereby booting Christianity out of its rightful place. I'm going to give you a quickie here, okay? So it all starts 1947, Everson versus the Board of Education, where they ruled that there was a separation between the church and state. And here's the bottom line behind all that. This came up because the Catholics, not making fun of the Catholics were providing transportation to people to get them to the schools, and the Protestants didn't like it. So they brought it to the Supreme Court and said that I don't want to pay our money to Catholic education. I don't want to be paying it. And so then the Supreme Court rules, all right, well, there's separation between the church and state. Then money can't go to religious schools. What a lie that whole was. That whole thing was. So that was Everson versus, follow the timeline, 1947. So what happens in 1962? Because there's a separation between the church and state, they tell us. What happens in 1962? It's the next one, Johnny, number eight. Because there's a separation between the church and state in 1962, they gave us Engle versus Vattel. And what did Engle versus Vattel do? Why, it removed what? Prayer. Landmark United States Supreme Court case ruled that it is unconstitutional for state officials to compose an official school prayer and encourage its recitation in public schools due to the violation of the First Amendment. So, folks, what did they do? First of all, said separation between the church and state. And then they said, okay, because there's a separation, no more prayer. Can't be doing that, right? So then after they removed prayer in 1962, the God-hating Luciferian communists, after that happened, 6 months later, 7 months later, the Supreme Court ruled, okay, then no prayer in school. You're not allowed to have any prayer in school. I'm seeing if Spencer's paying attention. So Spencer, how did this start? What did it all start with? You're right. The separation between the church and the state, which doesn't exist.
Boom.
It doesn't exist. Right? The states are in control, not the feds. By the way, this all happened as a result of the Civil War when the wrong side won, because when the North won, federalism came in, meaning the federal government now took control of all of this stuff, took away states' rights. Hang on, we're still going here. Spencer said, I never heard anything like this. So then, 1960, you follow me? 1947, separation of church and state. 62, they took prayer out. 63, they took Bible reading out. 1963, is that what it is? Huh? Public schools cannot sponsor Bible readings and recitation of the Lord's Prayer under the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. Anybody know what an Establishment Clause is? Anybody know what a clause is? Is a clause a law? How do you violate a clause? How do you violate a clause? Pull up the First Amendment, Spencer or John. Pull up the First Amendment. You have to find it someplace real quick. Because here's the Establishment Clause that these guys said we violated. Are you ready? Here comes the clause. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. There's the clause. There's the clause. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. I'm going to see how smart Spencer is. Why can't Congress make a law? Yes, because it's a states' rights issue. Do you get it? So they said, Congress, you can't do that. That belongs to the states, right? And so they get this establishment clause. And for 40, 60, 80 years, we've been obeying a clause. A clause. Does that even, how do you obey a clause? So hang on with me. Then in 1980, Stone versus Graham. I don't even know if I got that for you or not. Stone versus Graham, 1980. Anybody know what Stone versus Graham, 1980 was? Anybody know? Huh? Call Judge Roy Moore. I bet he knows. Stone versus Graham was what? The removal of the Ten Commandments from public buildings, public schools. That was Stone versus Graham. Friends, that was only 1980. That's only 1980. Unfortunately, that's about two generations of students who don't have. Hey, Dale, they're putting the Ten Commandments back in the schools in Louisiana. That's pretty big. That's pretty big, folks. Why? Why are they putting it back? By the way, look at that. Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that you couldn't post the Ten Commandments. 5-4. Not real overwhelming, was it? And so they pull out the Ten Commandments. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. So then, because now there's no, there's a separation between the church and the state. You're not allowed to prayer in school. You're not allowed to Bible reading in school. You're not allowed to post the Ten Commandments. Then they said, well, heck, if you can't do all that, then let's murder babies. That's number 11. 1973, Roe versus Wade. Why were they able to establish Roe versus Wade? Because they said there's no religious test. And murdering babies falls in line with the Ten Commandments. So therefore, we can murder babies. We can murder babies because nobody, we're not under any God anymore. And they ran that thing through us in 1973 and have murdered how many people? By the way, what was the voting record on Roe versus Wade? Was that like a 9-0 or anything like that?
7-2.
7-2, those dummies. Look who they were. Look. Oh, well, anyway, okay, I'm going to open this up. Hang on. So then after Roe versus Wade, they said, okay, well, gee, then we got to make sure. Oh, I got it. It's Stone versus Graham's down there. So Stone versus Graham followed Roe versus Wade. Since there's no morality, well, we'll get the Ten Commandments out of there. Hell, let's quit teaching kids right and for wrong. And think of the damage that has been done in America since 1980. Wow, huh? Wow. And somewhere in there, I didn't have time this morning to get it all out. The Supreme Court ruled that the problem with the Ten Commandments was, I'm paraphrasing, that the students might read them, obey them, and follow them. And that's not a proper use of government. Somewhere that's the line in there. And so finally, in what is it, 2024, the people down in Louisiana said, because why? They realize they have the right in their state to educate their children however way they want to. So it's a dismantling of the federal court system back to the local, back to the state. Now, is this thing going to be challenged? Oh, yeah, they're going to try to drag it back into the feds to get the feds to come in and say, oh, you can't post it. Folks, this is the war that we're fighting. And dare I say it, this is one of the wars that we're winning. We're winning these things. So Louisiana has officially begun posting the Ten Commandments, what's next? Mississippi? Georgia? Are they going to do it? And are we going to once again begin at the state level to reclaim our Ninth and Tenth Amendment rights? What's the Ninth Amendment? Pull it back up there. Pull up number. It's number four, Johnny. Number four. The enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage other rights retained by the people. Well, this is our get out of jail free card. If the Constitution doesn't specifically say it, they can't do anything about it. And so the Establishment Clause, you can't even violate a clause. We let them get away with it. We let the Luciferians get away with it. So the Constitution says, hey, since there's freedom of religion, if the state of Kentucky wants to put up the Ten Commandments, they can do it. They can do it. It's a state's right. It's a state's right. And then what's the Tenth Amendment say again? Next one. Power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by the states. Belongs to the states and to the people. Get it? So this is what the Civil War was fought over, whether or not individual states could have slaves. Now, hang on. See, individual states couldn't have slaves. Why? Why? Because they've been endowed with their creator with certain inalienable rights, right? They dehumanized black people. State can't do that. They can't do that. They can't violate the Constitution, which grants to them rights. And the only reason they were able to get away with it is because they said what? Blacks weren't people. They weren't people. In fact, they were 6/10 of a human being or whatever it was when they count them, right? Interestingly, yeah. That's what they said about babies, isn't it? Babies aren't people. So if you can make somebody not a person, then they don't have any rights. So they said blacks don't have rights? Babies don't have rights. Well, we changed the black one, said, oh, yeah, they have rights. But we're still killing babies because babies don't have rights. So ultimately, I'm going to wind this up. Once you come in here, I got more. We got to retake our states. Get your eyes off the Supreme Court and all that. Get your eyes off of them, man. Hey, Dale, there's going to be a big battle down in Louisiana, and I'm going to tell you something. They're going to win. They're going to win down there. Can I tell you why they're going to win? It will be forever. Oh, I'm going to make you mad. It's going to be forever the fruit of Donald Trump's selections of Supreme Court justices.
Boom.
Say what you want to about him. He changed the dynamics of America by his selections on the Supreme Court. What do you name three of them? I think you named three of them. Right? Oh, my goodness, folks. Boy, that was a lot. That was a mouthful, right? So you guys didn't know. You didn't know that every state had its own religion. You didn't know that. That's why they said separation between the church and the state. Isn't it amazing that the feds come in and tell the state what kind of religion they can have? The feds do. The feds don't have the right to do that. This is all what we're dealing with. Come on in, Dale. Oh, man, that was 38 minutes.
Well, let's just go back to the actual. We understand the writing of that separation of church and state, the way it was worded. In the original text, which was changed, it was that they did not want Catholicism like England. And right. Therefore, they changed. It was actually Catholicism that they changed it to religion, that they didn't want to be dominated by a religion over. And that's so right. That was that we missed that whole point. Now, I don't know how this is going to work, but I know Jeff Landry is a very smart person. He's a constitutional attorney, and he says, I'm looking forward to this fight in the courts.
Amen. Because, Dale, they have no ground upon which to stand other than stare decisis. Okay, there he goes.
Boom.
Johnny, stare decisis. Look it up. S-T-A-R-E, stare decisis. New word, D-E-C-I-S-I-S. Stare decisis. This is how they've crippled us. Say, Coach, I didn't know this. All I know you didn't. Stare decisis Latin for to stand by things decided. A fundamental principle in the American legal system. It holds that courts and judges should honor precedent or previously decided case rulings and opinions from prior cases. This doctrine ensures that similar cases with similar facts are approached in the same way, promoting consistency, predictability, and stability in law. So what do? Why do they continue to murder babies? Because they fall back on stare decisis, Roe versus Wade. They fall back on that previously decided. The courts have ruled. When you hear the courts have ruled, that's stare decisis. And they tell us that we have to follow it because the courts have ruled. But what did what just happened with the Supreme Court regarding abortion? Well, the courts have ruled. What did they rule? There ain't no right to abortion. There ain't no right to it. The courts have ruled. Stare decisis. But do you understand how hard we're getting now, the states, to accept the fact that there's no right to an abortion? When before, they were all behind the Supreme Court because they could kill the babies. But now that the Supreme Court says, no, 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 you can't kill babies, isn't it amazing that the baby killers now go to the states? That's where the battles fight. All of it's becoming local. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, we need to go back just like you just did and read the actual words of those earlier decisions. Eberson didn't say you can't have prayer in schools. It said you can't have an official school prayer. And we still but it got spun to be used against us. But the actual ruling was not that we couldn't pray in school, but you couldn't compose an official prayer of the school.
So Jack, here's
and we Coach took that. Dave. They taught us that we can't pray.
So here's Coach Dave in 1997, praying with our football team in a locker room. And over here are, I don't know, 20 guys who go to church. And over here are three that don't. And I said, okay, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And these 20 guys, they're all in. They're all in. They want to say the prayer. These three guys don't. And the Supreme Court says what? These guys win. These guys win. You guys can't pray because it offends them. Whose rights have been violated, folks? Whose rights have been violated?
Everybody.
So what you would say in a normal world is, hey, you don't have to join in. You don't have to join in. We're going to pray. You see what they've done to us? See what they've done to us. So if you go to graduation, and somebody at graduation wants to pray, it's free exercise of religion. Free exercise, which means if I want to pray and you don't want to, dude, don't pray. We're going to. And as a result, what's happened to us is we have become a government ruled by the minority. That's been the result of the Supreme Court. So we have to take back judicial supremacy, which is what's going on with the posting of the Ten Commandments down in Louisiana. Do you guys know how this is smart? By the way, how many of you didn't know this? It's a guy, because I had no idea. I had no idea. All right, I got 17 minutes. Somebody come on in. I'm waiting. Come on. I'll get Spencer talking here in a minute. Come on, Craig.
Coach, go back just a second. We've allowed the Supreme Court in our minds that the way that we look at the Supreme Court is totally wrong. It's never been what it is now. That's why we have homosexual marriage, and that's why we have murder of babies, because they found it in the 14th Amendment. The Supreme Court found rights.
Yeah, they found
that was never what it was supposed to be.
So, Jack, I'm looking here right now in the chat. And I love everybody in the chat. But Top Nut says Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, was a strong advocate for the separation of the church and state. Now, Top Nut, you're not thinking. You're not thinking. Thomas Jefferson didn't want an established church. He didn't want the Church of England. He was never against free exercise of Christianity. He didn't want the king to be head of the church and the head of the government. They just come through that. That's why they left England. They wanted to get away of king over church. They wanted to get away from that. And they said there's freedom of religion. By the way, the Christian religion. How do I know that? Read the freaking Mayflower Compact, dude. Read the Declaration of Independence. We know what the foundation of the country was. Christian. When you hear religion, they're talking denomination. Christianity isn't a religion. Baptist is. Lutheran is. Episcopalians are. Christianity is not a religion. Oh my goodness. Sorry, I'm not mad at stop that. But a lot of people think that. Huh? Individuals should be free to practice their own religion without government interference. So, dude, is there government interference on the free practice of religion? The ACLU sued me because I wanted to pray with about 80 of our football players, and two gripers didn't want to do it. Whose rights were violated? Come on, man. Open your eyes and see what the hell's going on. So, luckily, the old socialist boys down there, they're putting the Ten Commandments back in the Bible. And they're saying to all of them, hey, you don't have to grade with them. Hey, dudes, they're putting trannyism in schools, teaching trannyism. You don't think that's a religion? They're teaching atheism. You don't think that's a religion? They're teaching secularism. So it's not that there isn't going to be any religion in schools. It's what religion is going to be in schools.
Boom.
Oh, man, but we got to change the way we think. Huh? So the separation between the church and state means this, that the president of the United States is not the head of the church. That's what separation between church and state means. It doesn't mean any. Friends, it's Christianity that gives you the right to practice or not practice your faith. Christianity does that. There's no forced conversion. You can be in America. You can be a Christian. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Buddhist. Why? Because Christianity gives you the right to freedom of your choice and expression of your own faith. And when the government gets involved and says, no, if you're going to pray to Jesus, that offends the Muslim. Well, sorry, Muslim, go pray someplace else. We're a Christian nation here. We're a Christian state. We're a Christian state here in Louisiana. And we're going to give people the right to freely. This is, boy, we've been brainwashed. Craig.
Well, you got to back up a little bit too, Coach. So what happened in 1517? Well, that was the Reformation, Martin Luther.
Yeah.
When did Jamestown get established? Well, that was 1607. That was the beachhead, you could say, of the evangelical church. And the Vatican didn't really. You know, the Vatican really took care of South America, but they were losing North America. So the beachhead for the Vatican was Washington, D.C., basically. Upper Marlboro, Pennsylvania, John Carroll, first bishop.
Amen.
Catholic bishop, right? And so
the Maryland River, was a Catholic. Actually, Maryland was Catholic, weren't they?
So the Potomac River was the dividing between Virginia, basically the Protestants, and Maryland, which was the Catholics, right? And right. You wonder why there's so many Catholics that sit on the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who put the first Georgetown University? That's a Jesuit Catholic university. I mean, is there Bob Jones University in the District of Columbia? Is there the one down there in Lynchburg, you know, Jerry Farwell's? There isn't. Okay. There's a Catholic university. So you have Georgetown University, Catholic University. The Vatican needed a beachhead, and the Vatican got it, and it's called Washington, D.C. And if you've ever wondered why the Capitol and the Washington Monument look exactly almost kind of like a mirror image of the Vatican, well, that's the reason.
Amen. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I don't care about, and I'm not, no disrespect to Craig, but I don't care about what happened in the past, Coach. I do, but I don't. That's not what defines us.
That's right.
We have to see what's happening, what's changing now. Coach, one of our decrees, Coach, says this: all present and past unlawful and unrighteous precedent laws are null and void. In other words, Coach, we have to get back to the absolute law, the Blackstone, okay? What Blackstone was, he had the principle for the absoluteness of law. When we have a precedent law case, that means if a judge is wrong, and he is most a lot of the times, then they set a law which is like the pretend law, which that England was doing. It's the same similarity. So we set a new law. It's called precedent law, Coach.
That's right.
And it's not. And the courts go, well, the new law is this. We have to go by that. That has to go out. We have to go back to absolute law. And I know we have different interpretations, but
amen.
That's what we got to get back to. And that's why we decree that this must go down. We got to get back to foundational law. And
so, folks, why does the Constitution say Congress shall make no law? Why doesn't it say the courts shall make no law? Does anybody know why? Why didn't they put in there the courts shall make no law?
Courts don't make laws.
Because courts don't make laws. Courts don't make laws. But we've been letting them make laws. It's called judicial supremacy. Courts don't make laws. You mean to tell me five folks by 5-4 vote, they can totally overthrow the foundational principles of America. 5-4 vote. And you know what? They don't make a law. So look, if Roe versus Wade, let's use that as an example. If the Supreme Court says 5-4, there's a right to kill a baby. We got it right. Does that legalize abortion in every state? Well, no, it doesn't. No. And so when the overturning of Roe versus Wade, Roe versus Wade said, we were wrong. There is no right to kill a baby in the Constitution. That is a state's rights issue, even though they're wrong. States make laws regarding abortion, but not even that, because why? Well, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. So a baby in the womb has inalienable rights. So it comes back to the Bible. So they got to get rid of the Bible, and then they can make all these man-made laws. Jeff Nell, come on in here, Jeff. And by the way, Jeff, we got breakfast. So as soon as the show's over, come to my house. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm on my way, Coach.
Okay.
I did an investigation to Nevada. I did the open meeting laws. And I could not believe, because we have a Democrat state attorney, modified it. And I read, we've lost in committees. We have lost our First Amendment right by case law. If you put a court case in there, they have freedom of speech. So let you know.
That's what's going on, baby. That's what's going on. Come on in, Rochelle.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that you can't disagree with a past judge's bad decision. I think that's bad. Anyway, they get you to think backwards. You know, with this separation of church and state, they've got you to mean the exact opposite of what it means. Just like when they're going to argue with you about what the right to life means, but then they'll take this obscure thing about privacy and say that gives you the right to kill your baby.
That's right.
So I can remember, like, in school, as a school kid, and when I first realized this happening to me, it was Hammurabi's Code. And it was, like, I thought Hammurabi's Code was something that was really brutal and violent, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I learned about it. And actually, no, it wasn't a violent law at all. What it was doing was reining people in. Look, dude, he just poked your eye out. You don't have to go kill his entire family. So they got you to think the opposite of what it really was. And they do that with our Constitution and our laws all the time. Us as sheep, we hear an expert say something and we think, oh, okay, well, that's why we can do this or that's why we can't do this. And I've seen so many times where they're just parroting something that somebody else said and there is nothing to back it up. We need to know our Constitution, and they don't teach us that. They do not want to arm us with that information.
They do not want to arm you with that information. They do not. Look, hang on here a second. I'm sending something right now to my good friend, John. Do I send it to you, Johnny, or to Jared? Okay. John, I want you to pull this up right now And while you're doing that, I want to hear from Trent. I haven't heard from Trent. Go, Trent.
Yeah, Coach, let me read this quick quote. Biblical law. It was primarily the rule of biblical law, not the influence of architecture, paintings, hymns, that reshaped European life prior to the Reformation. It was the restraining influence of law, family law, church law, business law, and civil law. That was what this man wrote in the 6th century.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So, friends, Michael Perutka, Institute on the Constitution, 7 years ago, he wrote this song, Courts Cannot Make Law. It's a parody, but it's really good. Go ahead, play that.
There's a battle going on, a war for your soul. It's a devil's deal. It's mind control. They want you to believe that you have no hope. They're counting on the fact that you are a dope. Well, they tell you the rules, tell you what to eat. They know that you won't question. They know that you don't read. We've lived a lie for way too long. It's time to know right from wrong. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. The laws and the courts make none. That's in the Constitution. It's in Article 1. Look it up, read the words, use your own two eyes. Know it well, mark the spot, have it memorized. Tell your children, tell your mama, tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbors if you wanna be free. You won't learn the truth in government schools. It's up to you to know the rules. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Oh, Dred Scott was not law, you see. They ignored the court then, and so should we. Slaughterhouse and Mickey Mouse and Roe v. Wade. Opinions are not how law is made. That's not the way that our founders planned. Now wise up and rise up across the land. Spread the word so everybody knows. This emperor has got no clothes. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot.
Okay, cut it off. So look, here's how it's supposed to happen. The Supreme Court rules that there's a right to abortion in the Constitution. That does not make that a law. The way our system is set up, the courts say to the legislature, this violates the Constitution. Then it goes to the legislature and they rewrite the law. A Supreme Court decision is not a law. It simply says the law as it stands is incorrect. And see, we've lived under tyranny where the Supreme Court makes a ruling and that becomes the law of the land, and it does not become the law of the land. Wow, huh? Wow. Wow. Jack.
Yeah, Coach, we the examples in the emotional side, the religion side, are very emotional and bendable. So if you go back to how they perverted the Constitution, you go back to the money clauses. In the Constitution, it talks about in 1789, they knew what a dollar was because it's in there. It's right in the Constitution, the word dollar. It didn't have parentheses. They knew what it was. So Article 1, Section 10 tells you who can use what, and Article 1, Section 8 says who can physically manufacture it. And we get so far away from that because we listen to this crazy stuff from the
courts. Okay, Jack, I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time, Jack. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Case law system has a fatal flaw.
Amen.
Courts cannot make law. See you tomorrow. See you Monday.